And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me. Thou mightest receive thy sight, be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales. He received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. When they received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on his name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? Verse 22, But Saul increased the more in strength, confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. After that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him, but their lying in wait was known of Saul. They watched the gates day and night to kill him. The Bible says in verse 25, Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. When Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. They were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Verse 27, But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, how he had spoken to him, how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. The Bible says in verse 29, He spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him forth down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarshish. Verse 31 said, Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. Praise God. Taking our text this morning for verse 25, where your Bible reads, The disciples took him by night, let him down by the wall in a basket. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. We're praying now for the anointing of the Holy Ghost that makes teaching and preaching effective. God, I'm praying today that you will touch the hearts of the hearers. God, that people will be blessed. Father, as your word goes forth, let it not return void, but accomplish exactly what you please. And prosper where you send. Father, I praise you today for this revival that you are indeed sending to Calvary Lighthouse Church. Thank you, Lord, that we can be a part of it. I pray, God, use me as a tool in your hand to touch the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, Amen. Praise God. I'd like to preach for just a few moments here on the title, Don't Let Me Down. Don't Let Me Down. Praise God. In this story, we see Paul, Saul, at this point in text in the Bible, is near a place where he is needing an exit plan. And we see an unusual method of transportation. God sometimes uses unusual methods and employs other people to do his will. And when he has them do his will, sometimes he has them do it on our behalf. I'm thankful for people that in my life, especially as a young man, that were willing to listen and hear the voice of God and follow where he leads, because today I would not be standing before you if someone hadn't heard a word from the Lord, been a Barnabas, been one of the disciples in the early church that stood up and said, This is what the Lord says. And this is what we're going to do. And we know on this side of the early church, on this side of the cross, that God always takes care of his people. He always watches out for his people. You've heard the saying, you know, God has let me down. And there's been times, probably in your Christian life, if you've been serving the Lord for any length of time, you have made that statement or something similar. I just feel like God has let me down. The church has let me down. I've had people say to me, you know, Pastor, I called you and you didn't answer and you let me down. And that gives us an uneasy feeling. It feels like now we've got something to make up for. Can I tell you, God never feels like He has something to make up for. He's always had a plan. Come on, somebody. He's always had a purpose for our life. There's nothing He does not see or that He cannot know. And sometimes things, as Sister Mindy was saying, do not go right in our life. That does not mean God panics, but rather God has a plan for us. Quite frankly, sometimes this idea of stating that God has let me down can get stronger over time as we experience disappointment, discouragement, and some people give way to absolute despair. And it was this way in the early church. Many people that walked with the Lord, for example, those that walked with Paul later in ministry, he said, Demas has forsaken me. And there was a few others. And in one place, Paul said, no man stood with me. But I'm thankful for those that are like Barnabas, that step up and say, you know what, this is what the Lord says, and this is what God wants, and this is what we're going to do. Let's walk together. Let's be agreed. Let's see victory in Jesus' name. And so thank God, the times when we feel hurt and anger and sadness, and we start feeling thoughts of wanting to give up, to quit, to throw in the towel, somebody can come alongside and say, hey, wait a minute. God is still God. Well, I need to preach to you this morning. Sometimes our thoughts and our words and our feelings, if we were to put it in a big bubble over our head, would be, God has let me down. Or it seems God is not worth my time anymore. Church is not important anymore. Bible reading is off to the side, and why should I even try? I feel like one prophet said, I'm about to die. Go ahead and kill me, Lord. It's that bad. We wanted a certain outcome. We had it all planned out, and then God didn't consult with us about our plan. It's quiet in here this morning, but I've got to talk to you. Sometimes in the Christian life, we get it all made up one way in our head that that's how it's going to work out. And it all, that He's the author and the finisher of our faith. So He's already writing our story where one preacher said, where He can get the most glory. That's how He's writing it. And sometimes our little ideas and the way we think it should go is not even anywhere near that chapter of our life. Sure that Saul was glad to be baptized, glad to be filled with the Holy Ghost, glad to be in a place, Brother Titus, where now he's in the church and some people are starting to accept him and some people don't like him, and he's kind of back and forth and up and down, but he's just newly baptized. He just got his sight back, and just a few verses later, amen, all of a sudden they're wanting to bind him. They're not wanting to believe him. They're wanting to bring him down, verse 30 says. And can I tell somebody, amen, just because you want to serve God and do right by the Lord and start being faithful to church and reading your Bible, not everybody in your sphere of people is going to jump up and down and clap their hands when you do God's will for your life. Say amen. Amen. There's an enemy. There's an adversary of our soul who is still yet against us. Oh yeah. And heaven help the church when we start to blame God for what we go through. A little verse back in the Old Testament just kind of tucked away. It rains on the just and the unjust. Job was perfect. Pastor mentioned it this morning. I think he was peeking into my notes somehow. Had it all right. Still went through hell. God had His hand on it. We want a certain outcome. Can I tell you this morning, God doesn't just see the problem, but He sees His people in the midst of the problem. And He always has a rescue plan. And if you don't hear anything else the preacher says this morning, know this. There's a rescue for the righteous. Brother Saul, you've been saved for a purpose. Pretty soon your name's going to change to Paul. You're going to take a pen in your hand. You're going to be imprisoned. You're going to be mistreated. You're going to be rejected. But you're going to write nearly the greatest part of the New Testament. So all the churches that come along behind throughout the ages of time are going to be able to read what God did for you. I'm going to preach to you this morning. God doesn't just see the problem. Sometimes all we see is a problem. But God sees His people right in the midst of the problem. And He says, listen, you think I've let you down. Amen. But I'm doing something. I'm working something. I'm making something. I'm shifting something. Can I tell somebody this morning, God knows right where you are and what you're going through. Okay. Joshua 2. Rahab. She let them down by a cord through the window. For her house was upon the town wall. She dwelt upon the wall. Brother Robert, there had to be a letdown. Okay. 1 Samuel 19. David's in danger, right? Michal, his wife, she wasn't a very religious lady. She didn't like Pentecostal church services. In fact, she kind of sat back and didn't worship. But when it counted, Brother Jason, she did care for her husband. And Saul had sent people to take King Saul, that is, not the Saul of the New Testament. Let me balance that. But King Saul of the Old Testament has sent messengers and men, assassins in the night. He had thrown a javelin at David and missed. And now then he said, I'll get him for sure. He said, I'll get him in bed. I'll get him in the place where he's laying down. And so these men come in the middle of the night. But his wife said, I'm going to let you down, David. And verse Samuel 19 and 12 said, so Michal let David down through a window. And he went and he fled. And I like this verse. It says, and he escaped. Woo. I love to read about adventure. I'm not much on poetry or romance. But I like to read about escapes, mysteries. You know, some of our stories, if Jesus tarries, people are going to hear the testimonies of what God has brought us through. Oh, Brother Paul's up in heaven rejoicing, shouting around God's throne. But we're taking courage and help from his writings this morning. The things, as Luke wrote in Acts, about Saul and his name becoming Paul after the Damascus Road experience. Somebody ought to have said it this morning. I know God's talking to us. Amen. David was let down through that window and he escaped. Rahab let the spies down through the window. And whether it's a bolster and a little pillow, amen, that was put in place so David could get out of danger, or whether it's a red cord hanging out a window for Rahab and two spies, or whether it's four men, Pastor, you didn't have my notes. Amen. But here they are, and there they go, and they're letting him down, aren't they? He's just the fifth man. He doesn't have much faith, but the faith of four. Amen. You wouldn't think that he could get a miracle by being let down, but what did they do? They let him down. And wouldn't you know, by the time he hit the ground, after he'd been let down, Jesus was right there in his midst. I want you to know this morning, amen, God still does great things, even when he lets you down. Don't let me down. I was reading about a rescue basket. It's called the Stokes basket. And this metal or steel basket that was created could be disassembled, folded up, meaning put into a backpack and carried across the land. This basket, if it was opened up, Brother Titus, and all the pins were fastened, all the cables were put in place, it could hang from a helicopter. They said the initial tests of this basket for a rescue basket, they would take it and Brother Matt, they would drop it at 70 miles an hour and just let it hit the ground. They didn't want the basket to break up. Talk about being let down. In a hurry, they would test these baskets, perfect them, and go through all of these procedures until finally a little sticker was put on there that said certified rescue basket. And they used these baskets even in Vietnam and in some of these different world wars. And they said that in the helicopter, the pilot, a good Pilate would be able to take that basket and put it out the side door of that helicopter, and at a speed, even while he's traveling, begin to allow that basket to descend from that helicopter and drop it right where people who were injured or people who were hurting. I need the Holy Ghost to help me this morning. Amen. Right down, and he wouldn't let the basket hit, if it was a good pilot, he wouldn't let the basket hit the ground, but it would just get close enough where the injured could crawl right in or be lifted right in. Can I tell you, God still does good things? Amen. Even through the letdowns. And you might be thinking this morning, man, God has let me down this month. This year has really been a letdown for me. Amen. What I'm looking for is a pick me up. Can I tell you, God still sends a rescue for the righteous in their time of need. The Bible said the Lord, his ears are open unto their cry, and he hears the cry of the righteous this morning. Amen. There's a rescue on the way for you. Don't get mad because God let you down. He's got a purpose. He's got a plan to get you out. Praise God. Welded in type 304 stainless steel. I don't understand all that, but somebody who works with steel probably does. Brother Charles, 304 stainless, maintenance free. Folds up. Can be carried in a backpack, but can transport up to 5 people at one given rescue. I don't want to read into this too far, but have you ever felt the embrace of grace? Number 5 in the Bible is the number of grace. There's been times where I needed grace. Brother Kennard, I couldn't get up from where I was. In fact, I'd fallen down and it hurt so bad. What I needed was for somebody to help me. And he sent the basket. Oh, praise God. Hey, I'm so glad this morning. I know it feels like you're falling, but you're not. You're just being let down. I said, you're just being let down. And the sooner you and I can realize that God does great things, amen, through the letdowns, amen, the more faith we'll have when we see the basket coming our way. There's a rescue. I said, there's a rescue for the righteous this morning. You've not been left alone, but he's got his hand on you. It's not just about the problem. God's got his eyes on his people too. Hey, I got to preach to you this morning. And you and I have said, Lord, don't let me down. You prayed. Come on now, you came to church. You wore just the right clothes. You gave the right amount of money in the offering. You brought food to the church dinner. You joined, let me just be personal, you signed up for every ministry in the church that there was. You know, even super saints feel the letdown sometimes. Let me talk to the preachers in here. God, you let me down. God, it hurt. I was reading a little bit more about those Stokes baskets. And whenever they would pick somebody up, if they were on mission, Brother Titus, they were getting paid not just by the trips that they made, but they were getting paid on their success of their mission. If they did well, then many times these pilots would be awarded and have stars and special medals put on their chest. And I don't have time to go into all the military side of it. But as I was reading about these baskets, they said a real good pilot was able to pick someone up without them being hurt, and many times would not even retrieve the basket back into the helicopter. No, he'd just fly the helicopter across the water. Are you listening to me? Across the desert, across the wilderness, past the mountain passes, all the while a basket is just swinging and spinning, amen, and he's carrying somebody back to base, back to the place where he can find help and strength, and they'd bring that basket back, and the pilot, he was so good at what he did, he would bring the basket, and he would let it down. Are you listening to me? He would let it down right to where the surgeons and the doctors were, but he wouldn't never let it hit the ground, amen, he would just let it down. Praise God. Can I tell you, God can let you down, amen, but you're not going to hit the ground. It's not going to kill you, and what doesn't kill you, church, it's going to make you stronger, amen. Don't be mad at God for the letdown, but realize it's a rescue this morning. Well, I'm preaching to somebody here today. Can you sit down for a moment? There's baskets in the Bible. more than 50 times, Sister Pepper. In Genesis 40, Pharaoh's baker asked Joseph about a dream. And that dream featured baskets of bread. A lot of preaching there, Brother Titus. Exodus 2, we're going to take baby Moses. We're going to put him in a basket. We're going to float him down the Nile River, right past the crocodiles and right past Pharaoh's soldiers and right past all of these things that are happening. Why? Because the basket still speaks today of deliverance. Amen. God will bring it to you if he has to float it in a basket. I said God has a way of bringing people out. Exodus 29, Leviticus 8, Numbers 6, Deuteronomy 26. Instructions for worship rituals. And they all involved a basket of bread. Now this is a clothing basket. I thought maybe we'd have some sort of a woven wicker basket, but probably this just signifies the worship of this church. Amen. It's not no little small basket, but it's kind of a big basket. Amen. And there's five chapters in the Old Testament that talk about how when you come to God, it said bring your offering in a basket. Praise God. Well, God, you let me down, but this morning I brought my worship and I brought it in a basket. Praise God. Why? Because I remember the times that you rescued me and you brought me out. That's why I want to worship. Even when he lets me down, he still brings me out. Praise God. Five times. Deuteronomy 28, the blessing and the curse. Obedience, disobedience predicted what would happen to the baskets of God's people. I love to turn over and read in Deuteronomy 28. Blessed shall be thy basket. Some of you'd shout with me this morning if I had a basket in your pew. You just have to help me. Blessed shall be your basket. Still preaching. Jeremiah 24, Amos 8. All these prophecies. Zechariah 5. Prophecy involved a woman carrying a basket. Whether it's a flying roll in prophecy, thank God for hot rolls. I'm starting to learn, Sister April, to like sourdough bread. I took a bite of that for the first time, Sister Hallie, and I thought, why would somebody put something so sour in your mouth? But the more I ate it, the more I liked it, the more I wanted of it. Oh, what's in your basket this morning? There's a testimony. God's done something for you. This may be different what you came to church for, but this is all we got this morning. So until there's different menu prescribed, amen. We get pastor back up here, Matthew 5. Oh, I love this one. Jesus said, take your light and take it to the world. And don't put it under a bushel. And don't put it under a basket. He said, because the answer for the world, amen, is the light that you have to shine. Thank God. Amen. It's futile to hide the light. Oh, praise God. My favorite is Matthew 14 and two other gospels where he told him, he said, there's 5,000 people and I'm going to take what's in your basket and I'm going to feed them. Praise God. I'm going to supply their need. How many believes revival can come in a basket? Amen. Sometimes it feels like a rescue. Sometimes it feels like a rejoicing. Amen. But revival can come. I say any way you want to fix it, Lord. That'll be all right with me. Amen. It's just some baskets in the Bible that are telling you and me today. Sometimes God lets us down so he can meet our needs. Amen. So he can take care of us in our time of need. Paul escapes his enemies in a basket. Brother Jason, it's 15 to 12:30. I'm hurrying. 1992, Ken Boland. He was in a near-death plane crash from engine failure in San Bernardino, California. Ken, as he told about his ride in a rescue basket, they came to get him. He said, as I clung to life, in this it was a stretcher with handles on the side and harnesses and straps, and it had some rails that they just got to climb up. You know those ones that are, they're kind of flimsy? kind of chintzy. This wasn't the Stokes rescue basket. This was just a stretcher with some little rails on the side. And Kim Boland said they were testing these out, and I just happened to be one of the first people they used to rescue this on. He had a broken leg. Anybody got a broken leg this morning? He had a messed up arm, and both wrists were shattered in the plane crash. Blood was gushing from his head, his thigh, and his chest because of arteries that had been cut. He was wounded. He was hurting. And he was quickly sliding and sliding out of this rescue litter as they put him in it. He was thrashing around. They said, Ken, you got to lay still. And he was screaming. He said, I'm coming out of this thing. You're going to drop me. I'm going to fall. It's going to hurt. Oh, God. That sounds like some of our prayers. You're going to drop me. It's going to hurt. Oh, God, what are you doing? There's been times in my ministry, this is the short time I've been preaching and serving the Lord, I said, oh, God, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Look at these handrails. This wouldn't keep nobody out of hell. Amen. I've been through some stuff, and you had too. And we don't have time to pass a mic around and talk about what we've been through. But let me tell you, Kent said, he said, all I could do was black out and trust that the basket would hold me. As I started making my way up, the helicopter pilot did his best to stop the spin. It was only one cable that was going up. How many's glad for two cables? You know, sometimes two cables kind of keep you from still bounce around. But one cable. Lord, this is a poorly designed rescue. Lord, this is a poor, less than profitable, less than what I expected answer to my prayer. You know, one man said sometimes we pray a 25-cent prayer and expect God to give us a $1 million answer. Ken just blacked out. Hope against hope. Maybe they'll get, sometimes it'd be good for us to just shut our eyes and trust the Lord. Amen. And he did. He blacked out and he waited. And later he said, had this rescue gone smoothly, the trauma I suffered would have surely been decreased. That's a complaint. He wrote it out on a piece of paper later, Brother Titus. He said, my rescuers were rough with me. Let me say this. Yeah, but did you die? Ken said, the truth of the matter is, and I like this, he said, my world didn't stop spinning until they let me down. Some of you in revival, your world's been spinning. Take it from an outsider who just came in to holler and sweat and preach to you and tell you some stories and get you to an altar where he who can help you will reach down his heavenly hand and touch you and make you feel better and change you and take it from somebody who hasn't been here in a few months, amen, who can obviously see that in a church this size, some of you are going through things that you feel like it's spinning out of control, amen. Watch out for the letdown, because if you ever get down from this spinning, circling cycle, amen, you're going to look up and see a God who got you through. That's exactly what Paul had to say about it. That's what you're going to say too. Who but God could get me through? I asked him, Paul, yeah, you're kind of a basket case, aren't you? Yeah, I guess I am. 2 Corinthians 11. Can you put that on the screen? 2 Corinthians 11, verse 16. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise yet as a fool, receive me that I may boast myself a little. Here's Paul. Second letter to Corinth. I like that meme that's floating around on social media. Said that Paul was around nowadays, he would be, we'd be getting a letter here in America. Amen. I'm going to boast myself a little. I'm going to tell you all about it. Please say it. That which I speak not after the Lord, but I speak as it were foolishly in the confidence of this boasting. Y'all sit down. I'm going to tell you about it. He loved to say, I speak as a fool. He wanted to be a fool for Christ. Is that what the Bible said? For me to live is Christ. For me to die is gain. It was all about Jesus, and we know that. But listen to Paul. Verse 18, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I'm going to glory also. Let me put that in modern vernacular. Y'all posted about it on Facebook. I'm going to post about it too. I feel dangerous this morning. My toe hurts today. Here's a picture of my ingrown toenail. Pray for me. People comment, oh, that's so bad. Praying for you. Prayer emoji. Come on, lighten up this morning. That's what we do. A little heartbreak, a little heartache, a little soft smile. Whether we pray or not, the prayer emoji's there. In faith, it's there, isn't it? Come on now. Tell everybody about what we're going through. And sometimes life's complications and troubles and conflicts and problems are bigger than a hangnail. I know. I understand. Amen. But you and I are in that place this morning, and Paul was too. He said, listen, y'all talk about it. I'm going to talk about it too. I'm going to share with you what I've been going through. Verse 19. For you suffer fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise. Y'all listen to fools. Listen to me. I love how he starts a story. I'm just like, man, this guy. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. Anybody been slapped today? No teenagers in the congregation. He said, I speak concerning reproach, verse 21, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever is bold, I speak foolishly, I'm bold. Okay, Paul, would you get to it? Would you finally tell us, verse 24, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Hang with the preacher just a few more minutes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness and watchings often, and hunger and thirst and fastings and cold and nakedness, beside those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily. Somebody say daily. The care of all the churches, who is weak, and am I not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. The God, verse 31, and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. What was Paul saying? I know I'm on Facebook right now, but I don't need a fact checker. Brother Rick, I've got the scars on my back to prove what I've been through. You see these little marks on my head? These little shards of rock and things that are still embedded in my hands? That's from when they stoned me. Do you see? Have you read my journals? Have you looked at my stories? Have you read my bestseller? By the way, my books are going to be a bestseller in the next 2,000 years. If you'd like to pick it up and read it. Amen. Paul was saying, listen, I'm going to glory. I'm going to boast. And I'm going to tell you what I've been through. And it's okay to talk about what you've been through. Don't get mad at the preacher and say, he got up there and preached for a half hour about Facebook. You missed it. Social media is a great medium to share the gospel. Thank God for live stream services that are being sent out over the airwaves this morning all over the world. But let it be not be poor me, poor me, poor me, oh God. Look at what I've been through. Look at how bad it was. But at the end of it, let's do like Paul did, okay? Let's read the last part of the story. What did he say? In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me. I know it's not Damascus for you this morning. It's just the devil. Amen. That's what wants to apprehend you and hold you. But the end of this little story, the climax. Amen. I love to read books, Brother Robert. I'm kind of funny. When I buy a book, I flip back to the back of the book and I read the last 3 pages because I want to know if it's worth buying. Spoiler alert. If Paul was preaching this morning, he'd say, mic drop. Verse 33 in your Bible. Put it up there, brother. Somebody read it with me. And through a window in a basket, I was let down by the wall and what? Escaped his hands. Woo! Are you listening? God's got victory. And he's got it from the window to the wall. Praise God. Amen. No matter where you're at, he was let down. But the let down not only got him out, but it got him up and going again. Hang with me. In our text this morning, verse 28, Acts chapter 9. After that, they let him down, Brother Jason, from that little place by the wall. In a basket. Verse 28 said he was with them. Somebody shout coming in. Somebody shout going out of Jerusalem. Amen. Because you let me down, Lord, now I got access at will. I can walk in and I can walk out. How do you do that, Paul? Because I'm walking in the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God. God let me down, but he sure helped me up and moved me on. And now I got a ministry that goes beyond Damascus. Amen. Paul is going to be known for reaching the world. He didn't stay stuck in a window. He didn't stay stuck in a basket. And you're not going to be in their place and stuck there either. God's got a way of lifting you up and bringing you out. Here's what God's going to do. The Bible said, coming in and going out. Verse 31, then had the churches rest. Edified, walking in the fear of the Lord. Comfort of the Holy Ghost multiplied. What we need is the devil to be terrified. The church to be edified. The saints to be multiplied. And God to be glorified. That's revival. That's what was happening in the early church. That's what was going on through these chapters. And you're going to see Paul being used mightily of God. Amen. And we read his testimony. It's clear in another book. It's clear toward the end of his ministry. It's clear after he's been in jail. It's after he's been stoned and beaten. And he still had a testimony. I can tell you about all these other things. But let me tell you about the time God let me down. When God let me down, something happened in my ministry. In the name of Jesus. Somebody's been let down, but somebody's fixing to give back up. Somebody in this house is going to have a greater ministry, a greater anointing, a greater touch of God because of what you've been through. God let me down. Notice God did not let him die. He just let him down. God, you're killing me with these little decisions you're making. Not every letdown is a bad thing. This little message I've been hollering and sweating trying to tell you about. Life experience you're in right now may not have a logical or spiritual explanation. But that little experience you're in right now, big or small, it does have an escape. I'll not put more on them than they can bear. That's what his word says. But with every temptation, every trial, will make a way of escape. If I wanted to run up out of this church, get out of here right now, if I was scared, tired of this trial, tired of being hot and sweaty and preaching, tired of looking at you, have y'all's eyeballs staring at me, I'd hand this microphone to the preacher, and I'd run right back through that door. You know why I'd run through that door, Sister Gina? Everybody turn back and look over the top of that door. There's a big red sign that says exit. In another language, they would use the word escapo. Amen. Escape. It's a way out. I want to tell somebody at Calvary Lighthouse, God has given you a way out of your distress and a way out of your trouble. You're not staying in this thing. You're saying, God's let me down. God's put me in a place where he's not hearing my prayers. Amen. Just listen for the whistle of the basket as the air goes flying by, because you're about to get out of this thing. Somebody at revival needs to go ahead and put all their faith in one basket. Come on, Sister Mindy. It's 12:30. their custom is to be done right now and headed to Hardee's or wherever. Whatever time you need him. Brother Jason, there's been times I looked at that window. I stood by that wall. I didn't want to get in that place. I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. Brother Lucas, come up here. Now, I cannot hold him. Would you stand with me this morning? I cannot hold him, Brother Kennard, in this basket. This basket was designed for laundry. Holds 2 bushels. That's what it says. Will you follow my lead? Brother Lucas, if I could during this revival, you're kind of like Calvary Lighthouse Church. I messed with Brother Pepper the other night and I learned my lesson. I'm not going to do it again. You've been going through some stuff. I'm going to do my best to help you get up here into this basket. This is my friend right here. You're wondering, is that sweat falling off his face or is that tears? Little wolf. This is my friend right here. Are you listening to me? Some of you. Amen. If it wouldn't hurt your pride, I'd get you and put you in the basket. But I knew this morning this was the right guy. Can I tell somebody? I'm here to help you get in the basket. Because God's about to let you down like you've never been let down. Don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at the pastor. Don't get mad at the preacher. Realize when God lets you down, you're going to have free access to come and go in a power and an anointing that you have not known. Unrestricted access and ministry that God's about to give you if you'll just let God let you down. Somebody lift your hands right now and let go and let God have his way. Close your eyes. Lift your hands. Don't be distracted from what God's doing. We're fixing to have an altar call. And you say, Pastor, we don't have enough baskets for everybody. No, but the Holy Ghost is not deficient this morning. In fact, he knows exactly what he's doing. And somebody's about to step out of their pew, walk to the front, and climb in a basket and say, I don't care if it's by the window. If I don't care if I have to be here by this wall. Amen. But all my faith is going in one basket. Come on, somebody move out of that pew right now. Don't look at other people. Lift up your foot and put it down in a basket that God has prepared for you. Come on. Preacher, how big is the basket? Preacher, how big is the basket?